here in 1 Kings chapter 14, we see something here, and there's a word I want to focus on a little bit. I mentioned it in the paragraph in the bulletin, and I like to do word studies. And sometimes you do a word study and you might not understand a word as well as you think you do, but when you study it throughout the Bible, it will give you a full gamut of what that word means. A lot of people look at the word for, and what is that word for? What's the purpose of that word? Well, sometimes it means that you're going to do something to get something. And if you go to, a lot of people say that in Acts 2:38, it talks about being baptized for the remission of sin. When you're driving down the road, it's been a long time, but I have had a few speeding tickets, okay? It's been, 35 years. But the truth is, they did not give me a ticket so that I can speed. Right? They gave me a ticket because I was speeding. And that's what the second Acts chapter 2 verse 38 talks about. It's talking about the fact that they were baptized because of the remission of their sins. Okay? They weren't baptized to receive remission of their sin. Okay, a lot of people, all it takes is a little serious study. The English language isn't that hard. I know sometimes I butcher it pretty good, but the truth is, I've got that redneck dialect going on and I can't break it. Amen. But also, when it talks about being born of the water in John chapter 3, Jesus talks about born of water. And so many people talk about that being baptism. That is not baptism. That's the first birth, okay? Born of water. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You can't be born again unless you're born. You can't go through the door again until you go through it the first time. Born again, born of water has to do with, or born of water doesn't have anything to do with baptism. It has to do with the first, the physical birth. And Jesus emphasizes that in the very next verse when he says, that which is flesh, and that which is spirit is spirit. So a simple word study will help you understand. There are a lot of people that get all messed up. I want to tell you something. If you're trusting in your baptism to get you saved, you need to get saved.
Amen.
Because you're not trusting in Jesus. You cannot get saved trusting in anything or anybody else other than Jesus. And that's what the Bible says. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Where's baptism in that? Now, I'm doing a little foundation on word studies, but here in this particular passage, there's a word I want to focus on, and I'm not going to read a whole lot of it, but I want us to focus on this particular event because Jeroboam was of God had split the kingdom under Rehoboam, who was Solomon's son. And Jeroboam got 10 of the tribes. Rehoboam was only able to keep 2. And Jeroboam decided he was going to create his own religion and create his own priesthood. And the Bible says that he used the basest of men, kind of what they're voting on and putting in Washington, amen. But the truth is, what we see here is the fact that Jeroboam had done things so bad, messed up so bad, and now his son was sick. And he's coming to the prophet. Let's stand in honor of the word of God. We'll start with verse 1 in 1 Kings chapter 14. It says, at that time, Abijah, the son of Jeroboam, fell sick. And Jeroboam said to his wife, Arise, I pray thee, and disguise thyself, that thou be not known to be the wife of Jeroboam, and get thee to Shiloh. Behold, there is Ahijah, the prophet, which told me that I should be king over this people. And take with thee 10 loaves and cracknels and a cruse of honey, and go to him, and tell, and he shall tell thee what shall become of the child. And Jeroboam's wife did so, and arose and went to Shiloh, and came to the house of Ahijah, but Ahijah could not see, for his eyes were set by reason of his age. And the Lord said unto Ahijah, Behold, the wife of Jeroboam cometh to ask a thing of thee for her son, for he is sick. Thus and thus shalt thou say unto her, for it shall be when she cometh in that she shall feign herself to be another woman. The word I want to focus a little bit on is the word feign, F-E-I-G-N. It's a lot of people do that today. They act like one way, and they'll act like that with the preacher, and act another way when they get home, and act this way and act that way with one group of friends, and act another way with another group of friends. And that's what she was doing. She was disguising herself. I mean, he was blind. Why would she have to disguise herself anyway? But anyway, and it says, and it was so when Ahijah heard the sound of her feet as she came in at the door, that he said, Come in, thou wife of Jeroboam. Why feignest thou thyself to be another? For I am sent to thee with heavy tidings. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you, thanking you for your many blessings. And Lord, we thank you for each one that's here. Lord, we ask you to do something special. Lord, this preacher is well capable of getting in the way and messing up everything you try to do. And Lord, I just ask you, I beg you, please let me speak the words only that you want me to say. Not anything more, not anything less. Lord, we need your spirit to be in control of everything we say, everything heard. Lord, help it to sink deep into our heart. Let the name of Jesus receive glory and honor and praise. For it's in that lovely name of Jesus we pray. Amen. You can be seated. I look at this particular passage and I see this event that's taken place. And one of the things that bothers me about Jeroboam is the fact that God had blessed him by making him king over the 10 tribes of Israel. And he immediately went in the wrong direction. He started making false idols. He started telling the people, these are the gods that sent thee, brought thee out of Egypt, and all these things. And he did so much wickedness that the Bible says he provoked the Lord to anger. I want to tell you something. There are times when we do things that upset God. But the Bible says, to whom much is given, of him shall much be required. How much do you think God required from Jeroboam after making him king of 10 tribes of God's people? That's quite a responsibility. I want to tell you something. As a pastor, there's a lot of responsibility. People say, well, you get to get up there and give your opinion. That's not my opinion, okay? If my opinion doesn't match God's opinion, I'm wrong. I'll tell you that right up front. I'm going to give you his opinion. If you can show me where I'm wrong, I'll admit I'm wrong and apologize. I have people, sometimes we hand out tracts. I've had people come up to me and say, this says this about my church or my religion or this, that, and the other. And I said, if you can show me one place where you can prove that it says something that's wrong, I'll stop handing it out. You see, I'm not saying I'm right, but I am saying God's not just right, he's perfect. He says it the way he wants. This woman had come in there, and it was wrong of Jeroboam to send his wife. By the way, we'll get on that a little bit. Hey, don't send a woman to do a man's job. Why didn't Jeroboam go? I'll tell you why. He was chicken. But the truth is, he comes in there and he sends his wife, and she disguised herself. Why would you disguise yourself to come in before a blind man? Does that make sense? I mean, doesn't make sense to me. And it didn't help her anyway, you know, because God knew. But the truth is, she pretended to be someone else. I want to tell you something. God does not want you to pretend to be someone else. One of the things that I am so, so glad that they taught us at Landmark Baptist College is you be yourself. Do not try to be somebody else, another preacher. I'm me, okay? I've got all my faults. I've got a strong point or two. I'm opinionated. Yeah, I've got a big booming voice. God uses that. But the truth is, I'm nobody other than what Jesus can use me to do. I've been texting with we talked to her yesterday, a friend of ours from Kansas City. I mentioned a little bit this morning about telling her that we had they've been dealing with some brutal weather up there, and I told her about our average of 70 degrees in February here, second warmest February on record, and she got upset with me and said, "Are you bragging, Pastor?" And I told her, "No, I'm just proselytizing. I'm trying to get you to move down here." She would be such a blessing to our church. But anyway, we got to talking, and the truth is, when you think about people like that, she is just plain folk. That's why I like her, why we get along so well. Oh, we had our moments. There was one time when she walked out of church, and we didn't see her for months. I didn't know that we'd ever see her. She came back in, and I mean, she was just a blessing from that point on. But she told me, she didn't understand, because she had been swallowing the lies that had been going around, the political correct lies, and she'd been following that, and I'd started proving to her some of the things that I was saying was true. And it was starting to grind on her. I want you to know, that's one of the things I like about her, is the fact that she's straight, she's plain people, she doesn't put on airs. I want to tell you, when you come to God, you cannot put on an air. He knows who you are. He knows more about you than you're comfortable with. He knows more about me than I even can remember. And the older I get, the more I can't remember. And a lot of it, I'm glad I can't remember. How many of you like that? Amen. There's some things I don't remember, don't want to remember. But the truth is, don't come to God acting like you're somebody. Because none of us measure up. But he loves us anyway. Faults and all, he loves us anyway. This woman comes to the man of God, and she didn't fool him, because God had already told her she was coming. And why would... It blows my mind that if Jeroboam had set up these idols and said, "These are thy gods," why did he bother sending his wife to the preacher, the real man of God? Why didn't he go to those false prophets that he had set up? Because he knew it was a farce. That's why he found out. He went to the right place. Hey, he had been leading God's people in the wrong direction all those years. Now he needed the real God because his son was sick. And guess what? He doesn't go to those false prophets. He goes to the real prophet. Why? Because he knew the difference. I will tell you something. People know the difference. If you put on an act around people, they'll know the difference. There are a lot of people that aren't comfortable being around me because they're going to try to hoodoo me. They're going to try to say something and get me to go along with their stuff, and I'm not going to go along with it. I'm going to tell it straight. And that's going to make the difference. You need somebody to tell you what you need to hear, not what you want to hear. What you want to hear might not be the best thing for you. In fact, most of the time it's not. But God knows the difference. Not only was she trying to pretend to be somebody else, but you really, really, really make God mad when you put on an act before Him. I think about in 1 Samuel chapter 16, you read about where Samuel came and he was anointing one of the sons of Jesse. And what happened was they brought all the first 7 sons there. And the first one, Eliab, came there, and Samuel says, obviously, this is the one. And the Lord said, no, not him. Brought the second. Lord said, nope, not him. They go through the first 7. Nope, none of these. Samuel said, turned to Jesse and said, is this all your sons? He said, well, no, we've got one, David, the runt. He's out with the sheep. We didn't think that you wanted to bother with him. We needed somebody to watch the sheep. He said, you go send for him, and we're not even going to sit down till he gets here. See, you can't, Samuel, you might be able to fool the preacher. Samuel was ready to anoint Eliab. But guess what? God said, not him. You might fool everybody else, but you can't fool God.
That's right. Amen.
He knows the difference. And that's what they were doing. Jeroboam was sending his wife to try to find out what was going to happen to his son. And they wanted him healed. Why didn't they go and beg the prophet and say, can you please come and heal our son? But no, they kept playing the game. God gets upset when we try to play games. You don't play games with God. You got to be real with Him. One of the things that Sharon and I, when we started, when the Lord called us into the ministry, and He didn't call me without calling her, by the way. He calls us both. If He didn't call her, He didn't call me. Praise God, I've got a wife that would actually upset her world to go in a different direction totally than what we had planned because God said go. But when we went and started talking about, I approached her. I visited Landmark Baptist Church one Sunday. I'd already had my Sunday school class taken care of because I'd planned on being out of town, and something come up. We couldn't go where we had planned, and so we went to Landmark Baptist Church and heard Pastor Carter preach. Then I started talking to her about taking a class over there. But step by step, she and I knew that if we did this, we were going to be real. We're not going to play an act. We're not going to be one way with one group and one way with another group. Hey, I talked to you about children. I love those children, and I don't prefer the children over anybody else, but I don't prefer adults over the children either. In God's eyes, we all measure up. We're all the same. And so what we see here is the fact that you don't put an arrow on with God. You've got to be real with Him. You're not helping your cause by acting. It's tough sometimes. It's tough sometimes to come to God and say, God, I sure messed that up. You're not telling Him anything He doesn't already know, by the way. But the truth is, hey, I've done this. I messed it up. And I've got to admit it. But you know what? When you come to Him, you're going to somebody that can straighten it out. He's the one, He's the only one that can make a way when there is no way. There was no way for the children of Israel to cross that Red Sea, but God made a way for them. Your situation may seem the same way. He can get you through. But you got to be real with Him. You got to come to Him straight. Don't play games with Him. When He says this, do that. He's not going to tell you the second step, by the way, if you don't take the first. He's waiting on you to take that first step. Because He doesn't consider us serious unless we take that first step. And then He'll give us the second step after we take the first. And the third step after we take the second. And that's the way He does things, because He's leading us. I'm going to tell you, if God had told me before I went to Landmark Baptist College that I was going to move to Missouri and deal with 110 inches of snow in four winters, driving a school bus, and one of them full of 65 kindergarten, first, and second graders, I'm not sure I'd have gone to college. I'm being honest. I'm kind of glad God didn't tell me all that up front. Amen? But I wouldn't trade none of it. But what we've got to do as Christians, we got to be real. I gave out a sermon CD by David Gibbs. An excellent, excellent sermon about being real. And I want you to listen to it. I want you to learn from it. I want you to draw from it. Because it hit home with this preacher. Sometimes we, even preachers, have a tendency to put on an act. You get hurt. Sometimes you guard your heart. You lock it up. I want to tell you something. You can't make a difference if you've got your heart locked up. If you care for people, you're going to get hurt. Look how much it hurt Jesus. Look how much it still hurts Him. But we can't be Jesus in this world if we're not real. We can't be Jesus in this world and make a difference. The Bible says, and of some have compassion, making a difference. It's interesting there in Jude 22, it talks about the fact that compassion and making a difference are tied together. It was the Lord's love that motivated His compassion, and His compassion motivated His action. I heard a preacher a number of years ago when we were actually on deputation to go to Kansas City. And I've never forgotten that. And and I appreciate him. His message was on compassion. That's what's lacking in our churches today. That's what's lacking in our lives today. You got to love people. Even if they don't love you back. Driving the bus, I have all kinds of individuals get on my bus. Some of them, I enjoy getting on there too. You'll get that in a minute. But the truth of it is, I mean, I mentioned this when I was at at Solid Rock in Kansas City. Some people, now everybody's a blessing. Some when they come, some when they leave. Well, that applies when you drive a bus. Some people are a blessing when they get on the bus. Some of them are a blessing when they get off. But everybody needs somebody to care. Everybody needs somebody to love them. It's hard. Some of them, they might get on the bus and I know they're going to stink. Good grief. They called me into work one time. It was on a Saturday and I wasn't scheduled to work, but the bus was driving on Saturday had an accident. And so James called me, and he was the dispatcher, and he called me and said, "Can you come in?" I said, "Well, I'm not in uniform." He said, "That's all right." I said, "I'm sweaty, and I need to take a shower." He said, "Come on in anyway. Nobody will know the difference." That's exactly what he said. But the truth is, those people need love. This world needs love. And too many times we're like Jeroboam's wife. We try to put on an act. We try to act like somebody else. Sometimes we even act like we care instead of really caring. We met with one of the little girls that came to the church a few weeks back yesterday, and the situation's tough where she's living, and sweet, sweet little girl. And the one thing that breaks my heart is to watch them, and sometimes they're so happy to have somebody to talk to. They're so happy to have somebody that wants to converse with them. Because so many of them don't have anybody to care. And that's what's been getting my heart. Is these children, they don't have any hope. No hope at all without Jesus. And I praise God, I had plenty of people. I had school teachers teaching me about Jesus. I had church. I was learning about Jesus. Actually, I was going to church before I was born. And from the time I was born, I was enrolled in the cradle roll. Was I tough to deal with? Absolutely. I don't even like dealing with myself sometimes. Amen? And I know I was a terror back then. But I want you to know, I'm glad somebody was real enough and loved me enough and cared enough to teach me the truth about God's book and God's Son, the Lord Jesus. See, that if you're putting on an act, they don't care. They'll see it as an act. They'll know the difference. Some people won't like to stay here because we're not going to treat them extra special over everybody else. You say they leave for that? Sometimes they do. I don't like to see people leave. But they're not going to get treated special. I love everybody in this room. But don't expect the preacher to treat you more special than anybody else. Do you think Jesus loves you more than anybody else? He loves us all the same. We're all His children. I don't love my daughter or my grandson any more than my son and my other grandson. They're all special to me. Sometimes people need a little more attention than others. Sometimes, just like parenting, sometimes children are high maintenance and sometimes they're low maintenance. Sometimes it's church members that are high maintenance and low maintenance. But the truth is, as a pastor's wife, we love you guys. And we're going to do whatever we can and whatever we need to reach as many people as we can while there's yet time. We see what's going on in our country, and it's crazy. It's nuts. Anything goes. The only thing they don't want you to hear about is Jesus. And if it goes with the Bible, if the Bible says yes, they're going no. That's the way they vote. Who do you think's behind that? Nobody but Satan himself. And they're being patsies. They're being played. Jeroboam told his wife to go. Look at verse 12. And didn't help. I want you to imagine this being says, "Arise thou therefore, get thee to thine own house, and when thy feet enter into the city, the child shall die." You see, your family gets caught up in. He wanted his son to live. And I bet his son never heard about the truth about the true God. Got sucked into the false religion. How would you like that to be? You'd never be able to see your child alive again. As soon as you set foot in the city where the child is, the child's going to die. I'm afraid I would never go home again. What I want to focus on. Let's go one more place. Luke chapter 20. Remember, we were talking about the word feign. And I've kind of tentatively entitled this message, "Don't Fake It with God." Look at verse 19 and 20. It says, "And the chief priests and the scribes in the same hour sought to lay hands on him," talking about Jesus, "and they feared the people, for they perceived that he had spoken this parable against them." Let me assure them, he did. And it says, "And they watched him and sent forth spies which should feign themselves to be just men." Just stop there. Just men. Just men means that they're fair, they're honest, they're upright. The just shall live by faith. And they were pretending to be just men. So what kind of men were they? Scoundrels, low life. They would have probably qualified to be Jeroboam's priests. The basest of men. Those people are around today. And it seems like they're breeding at an uncanny rate. But we cannot afford to get caught up in that. We've got to be just men, not pretend to be just men. We can't pretend to be somebody else. God knows who we are, and we need to be straight with Him, tell Him who we are, what we've got. He loves us. He wants to help us. Whatever it is, He cares. And He's the only one that can make a difference. Just don't fake it. Be real with Him. Be real with everybody else. I want to tell you something. People will notice if you're real. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before You, thanking You. Thanking You for this blessing. The fact that You care enough to be real with us, and You want us to be real with You. And Lord, I ask You to help each one, whatever the problem, whatever the burden, Lord, help us to come before You, casting all our care upon You because You care for us. Move in the invitation as You see fit. For it's in Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.